Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Nikki.
And before I made the story more about myself, because I'm being harassed by a stupid cop at the Merrimack County in New Hampshire Department of Corrections jail by a cop named Schultz. So if you'd like to call him, you can Google the number and tell him you don't appreciate what he did to me. He banned me from visiting Ian, banned me from seeing Ian through a thick glass pane for 30 days.
Is Ian going to be moved to a federal facility eventually?
Yeah, we just have no clue when. Like, this
this is crazy that he's been in this place that he's, I mean, obviously he's, like, not supposed to be in jail if you want to think about things logically.
Yeah.
But he's not really supposed to be in a county jail sort of situation, like, federal. And honestly, like, the federal camps, like, he'd be better off there.
Yeah, and visits would be, like, in person. I would just be able to,
touch him. Like, when I've gone to see Arya at the federal camp, it's, like, very casual.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's pros and cons to both.
There's pretty cons and cons, actually.
But you know, if you're looking at the bright side, there are, you know,
I feel like it's mostly cons about being in the county jail as opposed to if he was in a camp. The thing is, like, for all I know, they could say, like, oh, we're going to put him in medium security, and then it'd be way worse, I think. But
I don't think they would be able to do that. I mean,
everything
of course,
about this case has been so strange.
That,
all
like,
the
exactly.
various delays.
Yeah.
Just, it's as if they're, like, arguing amongst themselves about what to do with him, you know, like,
it's
let's do this. No, it's not worth it, you know, like.
The things that we're waiting on for him to be moved was done in January, if not February, but
it seemed like a long time ago.
The thing that we were like, oh, once that's done, he'll get moved, has happened over a month ago, to say the very least.
It feels like Arya is going to be, like, home before he gets to wherever.
Yeah.
And we don't know where he's going, right? So maybe he's not going to go where Arya is.
Yeah.
That would make the most sense, probably. But, like, it's just weird how they just string people along with no answers. Because even when Arya, at Porkfest, that was when she got the call from the marshals. I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
It sounded really dramatic, and it made her very uncomfortable. But she didn't know where she was going to be placed. She didn't even know if she was going to be in a men's or women's facility until, like, a week before they took her.
Right.
That's insane.
And they do just, like, string you along on purpose. They're like, we'll let you know.
Yeah,
you don't need to know.
As if they don't know. They know exactly when everything's happening. So.
I agree. They probably already know way before they end up telling people, because it's just like all of this, the whole system, the system itself, like the government, the corporations, all of these people who want to control you. The thing they want the most is to keep you in a state of high stress, to keep your cortisol pulsing through your body. That's the thing I have mostly found out. I don't believe it's always just about money, because they can just create more money. Ultimately, they have all the resources to make more money. They don't need to get a job and
well,
work their parasites.
There's different forms of control, right? And there's different ways to achieve that control. And I think what you're talking about is, like, keeping people in a constant state of, like, panic and fear. That is a great technique to control people.
It keeps them stupid. It keeps, like, population down. Like, you're not going to be, like, as able to reproduce even if you're in high cortisol, because it is what's the female hormone they say? Estrogen. And anti-progesterone to be in cortisol. Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot.
You know what? I didn't know that, but that makes sense, because a lot of women are able to get pregnant, but they don't stay pregnant. And
estrogen,
a lot of the times they'll say, like, oh, no, because they don't, they, when you first get pregnant, your progesterone rises, so you can stay pregnant.
Yeah, and
so that's what keeps you pregnant.
Estrogen
hormone-wise.
If somebody came up and injected somebody with too much estrogen at any point in a pregnancy, the baby would die. That's basically what
the abortion pill is within the first trimester, maybe the second.
Because I watched a documentary, and I've been learning a lot about estrogen for, like, months now.
Mm-hmm.
Estrogen, serotonin, how bad those things are, and how much better having a high baseline of dopamine is, and keeping down your serotonin. Well, that's what I keep hearing, that, like, at any point during a pregnancy, if you have too much estrogen, the baby can die. Even, like, right up until the day that the baby
was supposed to be born. Well, your estrogen rises, so both your estrogen and your progesterone rise.
Yeah,
in pregnancy,
but
so you have, like, a higher level.
I'm just saying too much.
If it's imbalanced with the progesterone.
So I don't know the number. It's probably different for each woman, but that's what they discovered when they were creating birth control.
Yeah.
And they give you progesterone to tell the body it's already pregnant, but they can't get a natural progesterone from, like, cows or anything, because it's such a expensive, time-consuming process. So they made up these things called progestin, and it's so bad for you, and actually causes estrogen to rise a whole lot too, which natural progesterone wouldn't do. And it's so bad for women for so many reasons, which I'm sure you know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy. Like, my ex just was like, "I don't want you drinking those pills," and I was like,
"That's funny because, like, a lot of men wouldn't even think about that."
It's just because he's Mexican. He's not American. Americans are, like, dumb about stuff like that. And at first I was like,
well, we have a very, like, pharmaceutical culture in America, which I'm sure in a place like Mexico, they're probably doing things a little bit more holistic, like, naturally.
Are you guys saying I shouldn't be on birth control right now?
You need to get off.
Yeah.
It's made you bald. That's one of the side effects. You're actually starting to look a little manly, Colin, from this birth control you're on.
Yeah, that's dropping my voice, too, and making me sound like this.
I don't think a woman should sound like that.
I'm sexy. I'm hunting for men right now.
What?
Anyways.
One place to hunt for men would be a male's prison, probably, I assume. And that's where Ross Ulbricht still is. I just wanted to, since I changed the subject and made it all about me, I just wanted to call out one more time. Everybody should be tweeting #FreeRoss. People should be remembering him. It's literally this exact same as killing someone, but doing it in a slow, torturous way for as many years as he's going to be alive, if a president doesn't pardon Ross. And I don't think we got much into, like, the reasons why he didn't do anything wrong, because it's just not really in this article. It's not that I'm too young to know, but I wasn't around.
Did TJ mention speaking with
he probably didn't. So, Tulsi Gabbard.
I was like, why couldn't I say her name right then?
Yeah, I don't remember if he said that on the air or not.
I don't, but
is that okay to say?
Yeah.
I don't think he would care.
He got to talk to Tulsi Gabbard at Liberty Forum. He bought a VIP ticket and went up.
And who is this for people who don't know? Or
she
really
is
care?
I don't know if she was a mayor or a governor of Arizona.
No.
Or New Mexico.
Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. She was a Hawaiian politician,
was she a senator or a rep? But anyway, she was in Congress. I forget which one it was. And she has been anti-war, and she just...
And she was a Democrat.
Yeah. And she was a Democrat, and just in the last, I don't know, year or two, she's left the Democratic Party. I don't know. She hasn't become a Republican, though, has she?
Nope. She's independent.
But she is pro-guns
and stuff now. She was anti-gun before. No, but
so
she's pro-gun now.
Now, and so it's like, you know, that kind of wishy-washy.
And I'm not saying that makes her a Republican. I'm just explaining she went a little further right.
She's spoken at CPAC now. And, of course, she was here at Liberty Forum, and there's talk that she's a potential VP candidate for Trump.
That'd be crazy. I bet they'd win, though.
I feel like there's actually a high likelihood that might happen, because that would, like, kind of pull people over from the other side.
Maybe that would be a good thing, because, like we were saying, she was at Liberty Forum, and TJ the Spy, sometimes co-host of this show, bought a VIP ticket to go up and ask her a question, and he, like, gave her a hug or whatever, and he said, Tulsi, if you end up vice president, would you tell the president to pardon Ross Ulbricht? And she gave a very politician answer. She said, I'm learning more about Ross all the time.
Which is a total non-answer.
Yeah.
And honestly, the only appropriate answer to that question is yes, absolutely yes.
Yeah.
I mean, she might literally not know, but I wouldn't. That just the way, you know,
do you live
like,
under a rock?
She said she had spoken to his mom as well. She told TJ that she had spoken to Ross's mom. Yeah, right.
So you spoke to his mom, and I've never met Lynn, but I hear she's a very nice lady.
I've met her so many times.
Yeah, I've heard she's a very nice lady, and Ross just seems like such a good guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So to speak with his mother,
well, the
and to not have it be like
everything.
A definite 100% yes, I mean...
Definitely.
Or say, I'm considering it, or something like that. And the thing, too, is, like, if you're here at Liberty Forum and you're, like, flirting with us, so to speak, you would want to, like, kind of hint that you might do that to get more support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just almost makes me think that, you're kind of convincing me even more that the answer is actually no. But either way, it's not like she has the power, if she was vice president, to pardon someone, but she could, you know, influence the president. So, yeah, this article, I kind of scrolled through it. I wanted to see if it gave any more, like, here's why we say he did nothing wrong. But it's not really in here. It just talks about what they did to him, and I don't really want to rehash that. We do have a caller on the line. We have Law Dog in Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, how you doing there? See the infinite wisdom of the governor up here in Michigan. She is now in the process of obtaining tax dollar money so that people can start housing and getting $500 a month for illegal aliens that move into their home.
Illegal aliens are moving into people's homes?
Yes, and the people are getting, our taxpayer money is going for this program where illegal aliens are going into people's homes, and the homeowner is getting $500 a month.
So, they're inviting them in and paying them?
They're inviting the illegal aliens into the home so they can get the cash money, which is funded by us Michigan taxpayers.
Wait, is this voluntary or not? Are they being forced?
This is voluntary, yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of poor people that need the money in Michigan because the economic situation.
I understand that it's messed up that they're getting paid from taxpayer funds to do it. That's really the only
the
thing I see wrong
side,
with it.
Side of it's obvious, but it's. I would have to say, I mean, you have to look at the exact nature of the program and what the rights and all of that sort of stuff are. But it might be better to do that than to just stick them in a hotel in the middle of New York City, you know, where they're not even really supposed to be leaving those buildings, and they're like half curfews and stuff like that.
Weird.
But if they're with a family, you know, and
what's
the family's
the point
signed
of that?
Up for it,
why
that's
are
a little
people
better.
Leaving their
more assimilation
countries,
chances.
Even if it's like they're going to get exploded? Why would you leave your country to go sit in a hotel room, get given $10,000 by New York City and sit in a hotel room and have to poop in the street. Why is that better than what was happening to you before?
It might have been.
I literally don't understand unless you want to come here and have a productive life. And I'm not saying, like, just get a job. I mean, like, have a fulfilling life. Like, that's not fulfilling, and maybe they're being lied to, but if I showed up and it was like that, I would get myself out of that situation. There are plenty of illegal aliens from Mexico who come up here, and I don't even like that term, but there are plenty of people who are illegal.
It literally makes me think of, like, outer space aliens.
Literally. So there are plenty of people who are, they don't have a social security number. They are not, they weren't born in the United States, and they come here, they didn't do the legal route, and they work really hard, and they make very fulfilling lives for themselves. So why would you, what kind of person would you have to be? Like, how low is your IQ that you just get stuck in a park in New York City and all you do is poop on the ground? Like, I didn't think that this was real until I looked into it. Like, no, you should probably just, like, go do something with your life. And no, don't tell me that New York City is forcing you not to. You're just happy with that. And that's, like, I don't want those types of people shipped here. I don't.
It is confusing. It's like, how did all of these people come to be in New York City? Like, where did they come from?
They literally got shipped here.
Yeah.
It's like a grand conspiracy, actually. I mean, there's a lot of, like, there have been some people talking about this. I think it's, I might be wrong, but Eric Weinstein, and he went down to the Darien Gap, which is an area in Panama, right above Venezuela. I hope I'm right on that. I might have gotten that part wrong. But in any case, I should know better, too. It's an area, so there's no direct road all the way from North America to South America. It breaks up for, like, this 100-mile stretch. But this 100-mile stretch is, like, really treacherous because it's mountainous, it's tropical with mosquitoes and stuff like that. And so they're like, shipping people through there, because you can't, like, just get through it on your own. You either have to take a ferry and go around
it.
No, it's land. There are paths there, but there's no roads, and there's no infrastructure.
Is it like desert?
No, it's like tropical, but like dangerous tropical, with mosquitoes and like poisonous, you know, snakes and things like that.
Is it like in the Amazon, technically, or something?
No, that wouldn't be the Amazon, you could imagine it like the Amazon. It's going to be a tropical kind of thing, but
spiders, snakes.
Yeah, it's
frogs.
And I mean, there's high mountains there too. So I don't think they're just walking along the coast. I think they're like up in the mountains too. It's apparently a very like treacherous place to go between, and not a lot of people do it. A lot of like cartels will like hide out there as like a safe place, you know. But
so you're saying that those people are getting shipped to the United States?
Yes, or they're being trafficked through there on like certain routes and stuff. But it's not happening on its own. Like, it's almost impossible to get across that barrier.
Well, what I find strange is just why, I don't know, why would you want to leave everything you know just to come and have an unfulfilling life in the United States? Like, it's one thing, like,
They don't know that that's what they're in for when they
get
here.
I know. That must be it.
There's so much instability that this is causing, and not just instability, but like uncertainty. You know, if there's going to be, let's say there's going to be some fraud in the election, they'll be able to say to people, oh, it's because of all of these illegals that they brought in. But those people don't even have to vote. They just have to literally print up the votes but say that that's what happened. Yeah. And everybody's going to buy it because, you know, this is in the media.
And also it's a thing that just divides people, because there are people like Republicans who are all scared of these people who probably aren't that dangerous, because I haven't, like, I just don't see, like, you know, people in my street that look like they came from South America killing people, you know. I just like to, I like to go off of what I see, and I don't see that.
One thing that I can say about it, too, is there's a big difference between immigration to the U.S., you know, from like 100 years ago, where the people had to pay their own way. And you literally have that story, like almost every family has it, where the guy says, I landed, you know, on the boat, and I had like a dollar in my pocket, and I built my way up from that to owning this house and all of this other stuff. There's a big difference between that kind of immigration, where the people themselves are the ones making their own way to that place, and they have the motivation and the skills
to do
that.
Well, they're searching for a better situation.
And then when they're being shipped there, and this isn't just happening in the U.S., it's happening all
over Europe. Happens now.
It's happening in Ireland.
Point that out.
There's huge civil unrest in Ireland right now. People are mad because they can't afford housing. That the government is doing the same thing, kind of like this Michigan thing, where they're like buying up houses and buying up hotels and doing all sorts of stuff like that and putting immigrants or migrants, whatever word you want is the right one, into those places. They're doing it, you know, Sweden. They're doing it all over different places in Europe. So it's a purposeful like destabilization technique that's being done.
Yeah, and Nikki and I were also talking about how they're sometimes doing this in a way it seems on purpose with people who don't match the attitude of the land. Like Somalians that they are shipping to Ireland, like, why does anybody think that makes sense and is fine that they're shipping a bunch of, like, people who lived in a place like Somalia just to Ireland?
No, when people were talking about refugees from, like, Syria, places like that, I was like, okay, fine, you have these refugees, you have this humanitarian thing, and you think you want to do something about it. Granted, you're doing it with taxpayer money that you've taken from people, and that's wrong, but if you're going to do that, you could get way more bang for your buck moving those people around the Middle East where they'd be in a more similar culture.
That's what
it
I'm
will
trying
be
to say.
A different culture, but it'd be a bit more similar, and it'd be a lot cheaper, too, and it'd be closer, and then they could always go back in the future versus
moving
them.
Because that's not going to be good for those people to go somewhere where they essentially don't want to be. They don't feel comfortable. The people who already live in those areas aren't comfortable with them being there. It just seems like a bad situation for everyone involved, and I don't think they're doing these people any favors.
And it really messes with people's arguments and thought processes on simple things. Like, for one thing, you might hear everything we're saying and think, like, we're pro-closed borders. Like, I don't know about Colin, but I am pro-open borders. I'm just anti-the government.
I want a wall between New Hampshire and Massachusetts, okay?
No,
I'm very... Yes, we're going to build a wall and keep the Massos out. We're going to keep them down there.
That's a terrible idea. Just keep us in one day. That's what I'm most afraid of.
No, that's what I actually say about the U.S. border.
Yeah.
I mean, like having...
Like if they had a wall there, just keep us in one day.
Oh, no, that's absolutely... That's really the plan for it, to be honest.
But I'm just saying, like, in principle, I want... open borders. I want free trade and free movement of people, but that's the whole thing. Like, I don't want people forcibly, I don't want the government, which are just a group of people who are thieves and parasites, to make unnatural movements of people and lie to them about what they're going to get and promise them other people's stuff.
Yeah.
There's no way that that is a net positive. It makes no sense. I am 100% pro-immigration, as in, like, people who... that what you were saying, like, I got here with a dollar in pocket. That still happens.
I think a lot of these things have so many moving parts we can't even fathom. Mm-hmm. So, like, take a look at New York City after, like, the COVID lockdowns, which were, you know, bad there, and how many people left and have not returned. Mm-hmm. And so it's like there's people there with property and stuff like that, and they're like, hey, we don't have any people in these places. And so the government's like, okay, we'll solve this problem for you. We're going to bring in people, and we'll slowly give them jobs and do this. But it's all manipulation upon a manipulation as a response to manipulation.
603-283-6160. We're going to get back into the phones coming up. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
U.S. USA News Update. Maryland Governor Wes Moore has provided an update on the investigation into the cargo ship that plowed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing it to collapse.
There's not much infrastructure that can take on that brunt level of force, so we have to be able to look into it. And all indications as of right now are showing that this was not terrorism nor any form of nefarious intent.
Wednesday, the NTSB boarded the ship to gather what they call perishable evidence. A Texas law granting police the authority to detain individuals suspected of unlawfully crossing the border remains suspended. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans has affirmed a prior ruling deeming SB 4 unconstitutional. Donald Trump has extended a warm reception to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s entrance into the presidential race. In a post on Truth Social, Trump expressed his hope that Kennedy's candidacy will draw votes away from President Biden. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Number here. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites?
Yes.
Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. social.freetalklive.com. That's social.freetalklive.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
And Nikki.
And we do have two callers on the line, Renee in Louisiana. Renee, what's on your mind?
My mind is to talk and voice my opinion about immigration.
Oh, it sounds like
immigration, yeah. We lost you there for a second,
yeah,
but it sounds better now.
Immigration. I studied Spanish. I learned Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I had low-collar jobs that introduced me to lots of coworkers that's Latino. I know I've talked to them. I've met them. I come from a French-American background in Louisiana, raised by grandparents. So, you know, I think they're more compatible to me. I mean, I'm an older guy. I may have one move in my house if they're Mexican, you know, and we got the same language. The thing is, people do not look at the actual dynamics of why these people come in here. These people come in here because of the image America has for safer police force. I know y'all don't like the police, but the police over there is much worse. They don't like to be in a shooting gallery like Edmund Fudd shooting at Bugs Bunny with the drug cartel and the decentralized government. They don't like that. They won't come here for security. They don't like that their police force or acting police force, the soldiers, don't take a tip from John the Baptist talking to the soldiers. Enjoy your money and don't use your power to extort stuff from people. Like every checkpoint these people do go through is like us, especially when they come back from America buying products. They got to tip off and bribe every policeman. They're kind of tired of that. You know, they want a better life. They want a safer life.
Yeah.
So they're willing. And plus, their governments are destabilized with some of the point. I don't know if y'all could woke or leftist or whatever the hell they got, Marxist ideologies that's imploding their governments over there, destroying the economy beyond repair. They want to get the hell out there and come over here. Unfortunately, I don't know, like bad karma, that kind of stuff's kind of evolving over here too.
Yeah. So I think you're absolutely right with a lot of those things. I'd love to ask you what you think about, because it seems right now like a lot of immigrants or people from Mexico, wherever, people from other countries are being shipped here in massive hordes. You know, they're obviously being promised money, and I think, you know, it's been confirmed that they've been getting $10,000 or whatever, but it seems like they're being shipped here, and then there's not enough space for them, and then they're essentially homeless. So what is your opinion on that? Do you think that, because we were speculating before, like, are they just being promised things, like the U.S. government is maybe promising them that they're going to have housing and all of these opportunities that don't actually come to fruition? Or what do you think is going on there?
Well, do you have a comment on what he has said?
No, not too much yet.
So what do you think about ideas. That, Renee?
I got ideas that the undercurrent powers that be that want to destabilize America for whatever master plan they have many, many agents and assets, like the Soviets said, for the Cold War and their intelligence apparatus. Useful idiots. Like, we have all kind of things that don't make sense. You know, Antifa doing their antics. They claim that January 16 or whatever the date was socially engineered. It was not perfectly by the right. It was sort of socially engineered to happen. Well, I believe in that because on the History Channel, stuff like that happened.
Yeah.
You know, the Germans helped Vladimir Lenin revolt in Russia to take Russia out of World War One. It worked. They tried to do that to Pancho Villa in Mexico. It failed because the federal government won and the American army went and hunt him down and destroyed some of his potential. All these kind of stuff are still practiced today, these, how to call that, red flag or whatever, covert operations. I think it's a big covert operation by some of what they consider the left, the dons of the left, to destabilize the government, to take over once it breaks out in revolt and come out on top as the absolute comfortable ruler with some kind of dictatorship and power.
Do you mind if
That's
I ask
what
where
down in Europe.
You're in?
What are you trying to do over here?
You're down in Louisiana, I think I heard from somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you? Where are you at in Louisiana?
I'm next to Lafayette.
Okay.
I see lots of Latinos.
Do you know how many of them are migrants and how many of them are people that have come there?
They're like the sugarcane industry that brings them in as seasonal workers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you know how many, but. Yeah, it's an interesting perspective.
Well, you
can get One
a feel
thing
if
he brought
you get
up.
Out and you talk to people.
Yeah, but like, how is he going to answer that question? Like 20, 30, 100? Like, I don't know.
No, I didn't ask him a number. I mean, like, what percentage, like, of people are you getting a feeling that there's a different, like, because you were saying the sugar work
did.
And they're seasonal, but do
he
you think that there's more than that in your area in particular?
He did say that in his work, he runs into plenty of people that are, you know, not quote unquote legally here. And thank you for the call, Renee. One thing I found interesting about what he said is just like him bringing up, oh, they have a bunch of agents. Maybe this isn't even what he meant by that, but what it made me think is like, if they quote unquote wanted to bring someone here, they don't even have to be the race that they're claiming to be, and they want to get them here for some reason, and now they're here undercover, and now they're... That's, what an easy way to do that. Just, oh, I'm from Syria. Like, in reality, he's, yeah. like, Hispanic or something, and he's actually American, he's undercover. Not that I'm... I can't think of any reason why, but the CIA is just that freaking weird.
Yeah.
And really, they're here doing some kind of...
I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah. Who knows what they're doing? I'm not even saying, like, murder, just, like, spying or something. Well, unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hi, sorry, is this me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Michael, and I'm calling in. I have a question for, I'm sorry, I need a moment to gather myself. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I have a question for Colin.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay, hey, Colin, how you doing?
All right.
That's good to hear. So, do you believe that parents or guardians should make decisions for kids and incompetent adults? Wouldn't that imply that value is not subjective? And if not, at what age or competency level does value become subjective?
I don't even know that why value being subjective would be dependent upon a person's, you know, ownership of themselves is the word I want to use.
Do you want him to try to rephrase the question?
Yeah, I guess.
Why do you think...
Well, I mean, if you believe that parents should make decisions for kids, wouldn't that imply that value is not subjective?
No, it's subjective. Okay, so what I'll say is this. You have a person who's will be making decisions for the kid until they make it for themselves, right? And in my opinion, the best person to do that, even if that person is bad, even if the parents are bad, it's still better that we leave parents to be the ones to do that than anybody else. The minute you say, let's have a government do it, that's how you wind up with, like, you know, Hitler Youth type things in mm-hmm. Germany, where they're like, well, no, the best thing for the kids is to be taken away from the parents and to be put into our propaganda program and blah, 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 blah. So even though, you know, you might look at a situation with a kid and be like, oh, I think it's wrong that they're raising the kid that way, I still think that just as a principle, we should allow those parents to be the ones to make those decisions until the kid asserts himself and says, or herself or whatever, and says, like, no, I'm my own person now and I'm on my own. So it's still, value's still subjective.
So are you understanding that?
I appreciate your answer and hope you have a good day.
All right. Oh. Thanks, Ari. It sounded like he had a situation to take care of. Oh, yeah, I don't really understand what that had to do with anything. It seemed to be a callback from a Skeeter conversation we had like 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago.
That doesn't seem like a Skeeter buzzword.
No, the value is subjective part.
Yeah,
it's a Skeeter buzzword topic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't get what that was about. Sarah, New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, that's a wild caller. I just wanted to bring up with you guys about, have you heard of such thing called a road diet? A road diet.
Road? What is that? Drive on the road?
Road diet. It actually means to... I was like, road diet. It means to, like, they narrow the roads from 4 lanes to 2 lanes.
Oh.
Dang it. I thought you were talking about, like,
I'm like,
diet.
Is it like keto
or
paleo?
Yeah, I was interested when you were talking about that. So why would that be a good thing? I think narrowing the lanes is a terrible idea, Sarah. More lanes is so much safer. I love driving on a 4-lane highway where there's a big, giant, huge median in the middle, and there's 0% chance I'm just going to get, like, a head-on collision. That's just not going to happen.
I think she wants bigger sidewalks and bike lanes, probably.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that...
The New Mexican drivers will drive onto those sidewalks.
And right through the roundabouts.
Well, yeah, the medians protect drivers, but what about the pedestrians that have to cross?
Pay attention.
The cars, if they have more lanes, they get even faster. They drive even faster.
It drives so much more efficiently and further and better.
I hate one lane. To move cars, but I mean, how does that do for pedestrian and bicycle safety?
I just thought of something. This is what you need to do. From now on, when you're going to cross the road, look both ways before crossing the road.
Yeah, but they're doing like 35 miles an hour. They're doing 50 miles an hour. What good does it do me and they got four lanes I got to cross or three car lanes to get to the middle, and they're doing 55 miles an hour.
Are you walking across interstates?
Yeah, what?
But shouldn't there be, because typically where you're crossing, wouldn't there be a light?
Yeah, but, okay, do they stop or do they run the red light? That's the thing. They're going so fast they can't stop, yeah. So they wind up running it.
I think, and this is definitely a New Mexico cultural problem or something, because around here, people really don't run red lights. If someone runs a red light, it's because maybe there's an emergency. And this is, like, typically what I see. I'm sure people run red lights or, like, maybe accidentally or whatever reason just because they don't care. But
when do people, you know, when do people run the red light? Like, they run it when it's turning red, but, like, not like, oh, the light's already red, and then I just
according to Sarah,
like,
people in New Mexico are just running red, like, just
I mean, I
blatantly,
do it all the
know?
Time if I'm coming up and I can clearly see there is no danger, then I'll do it. But I have to, like, be absolutely sure. And sometimes I'll just stop and then go because I have to look. But if it's so obvious, like, you can see for miles in every direction, then I'll just keep going.
Maybe this is a difference, from the Midwest to other areas of the country. But, like, I was always taught, like, you know, you don't want to get hit. So, like, look both ways before you cross the road.
Yeah.
And, like, cross it kind of
like. Is that
like,
a Midwest thing?
She's from Boston.
I don't, people in Boston.
Wait, isn't she from Boston? Wait, Sarah, where are you originally from again?
I'm actually originally from South Korea, but I lived in California for 10 years, and I lived in Boston for 3 years.
Okay.
But we were ranked the worst drivers in America by statistics
in New Mexico.
In New Mexico.
And have they ranked, ranked the pedestrians there?
They should. Well,
and then we're... Here's the thing. It's the drivers, I feel like they're bullies, and they want everything their way. They don't like red light cameras. They don't like speeding cameras. They don't want pet tickets from the police officers. They don't like road diets. They don't like bump outs. They don't like narrow roads. They don't like riders. They just want it all.
Do they ever give people tickets down there for jaywalking?
Well, I mean, that's how they want to prevent the pedestrian fatalities here by blaming the victim, ticketing the victim, the jaywalkers.
Well, I just think that lots of people on the roads do have problems with, like, wanting everything their way, being like, I need it right now, I'm not going to slow down in order to blah, blah, blah. There really is a serious problem everywhere I've ever driven with that.
With, like, road rage, you mean? And, yeah.
And just, like, whenever a car is turning left and you're behind them and you got to stop, and you can see people are like, no, I don't want to have to stop. Well, you have to. You just have to. It's called, like, sharing the road. But I just don't really see the point in having this conversation with Sarah again. So Nikki, you had a story for us, the story about AI.
Yeah, so this one is about...
Thank you, Sarah, for the call.
I had a few stories about AI in healthcare, and this seemed to be the most interesting one. So this is how Amazon Pharmacy is using AI to deliver medications faster as it expands same-day delivery. This is from Fierce Healthcare. .com. And I was interested in this. We talk about AI sometimes in the show, and I was interested about this because I think in most people who are on medications will know, like, the pharmacy, depending on what pharmacy you're going to, sometimes the local pharmacy is just really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Health insurance in America is really bad. The customer service just in general across every industry is really bad.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the, what I want to call it, like, a lot of people are, like, kind of anti-Amazon because they think they're taking jobs away from people and whatever. But Amazon, I think, seems to be solving a lot of problems in a very efficient way. I mean, where else can you get something next day shipping? I mean, no one else is doing that.
How is this AI pharmacy thing going to work? What exactly are the details of it? Does it say?
Amazon Pharmacy expanded its same-day medication delivery service to New York City and Los Angeles, with plans to add a dozen more U.S. cities by the end of the year, the company announced on Tuesday. Amazon's pharmacy business plans to use environmentally friendly vehicles, e-bikes, whatever. Customers in New York City and the Los Angeles area who need medications to manage flu, high blood pressure, diabetes, and other common conditions can now get their medications delivered to their door within hours, according to the company, which is a huge change from, I mean, regular delivery services.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm assuming they would have a warehouse, like, pharmacy style locally. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, even...
This seems like stuff that's right up the alley of a lot of different types of work I've done with courier work and pharmacy delivery and stuff like that.
Have they taken your job? They took your job?
No, it sounds like what they're doing is they still have people doing the actual driving and transporting of it.
Oh, I see.
What's the AI part of it?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because, like, if the AI is taking the script order, that'd be great. Because you could trick it to do anything.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Just tell it to draw you fingers, and then it just spits out pills out of the machine.
Draw you fingers?
No, you know AI screws up on drawing fingers.
Yeah, it seems like the AI is doing the triage process, but they don't really weigh in a lot.
What's that exactly, triage?
On. So, like, the process where they're essentially, like, putting in orders. So instead of having a physician write the orders, it seems like they're having AI.
That'd be an interesting thing to exploit, call and essay.
So apparently this is already an option in Austin, Indianapolis, Miami, Phoenix, and Seattle. So in October, the company launched drone delivery for prescription medication orders, with the service initially taking flight in College Station, Texas.
I forget what it's called. It's AG, Texas Ag, whatever the heck you call it.
A&M?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I didn't know which town it was in. Yeah.
A&M, it's in College Station. Yep.
So this doctor comments, the current pharmacy experience is broken, with patients facing long pharmacy lines and unexpected prices at the counter. Amazon Pharmacy is tapping its world-class logistics network along with a variety of cutting-edge technologies to change that. Amazon Pharmacy has largely been focused on price transparency and affordability of branded and generic medications. Amazon rolled out RX Pass, a prescription drug subscription for Prime members, as well as a new feature to make it easier for customers to use manufactured discounts on branded meds by integrating the coupons into the checkout experience.
This only sounds like positives to me. Like,
absolutely.
Getting stuff done more efficiently and better.
Well, and for me, I mean, like, I don't even have health insurance because I think it's pretty dumb and I don't want those services. Like, I don't want...
Neither.
I mean, I don't take medications or anything. I don't, you know, wish to have any of those services.
Yeah, I've been off my meds for months now.
Great.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, for people who, like, do, especially, like, diabetics, I mean, insulin.
You need it.
You need it, or else you will literally die. There are so many, like, actual legitimate life-saving medications that people are on that are so wildly expensive. Sometimes even with insurance, like, if you don't have state insurance or you don't have good insurance or you don't qualify for whatever reason.
How much are they saying it could drop the price? I mean, because you have the price of the medicine as purchased from the, you know, the manufacturer of it. And then you have, like, the overhead costs. And obviously this would lower the overhead, but I still don't see how it could, you know.
It doesn't
and also
say,
by law, I mean, you have to have an actual pharmacist in most states.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah,
you're not going to get around that either.
But that's easy enough. I mean, they could have one pharmacist for the whole entire area.
Yeah, and I mean, that he could just hit yes. But even still, I'm trying to figure
out. That's like telehealth, right? So that's kind of already happening.
That's true. I was just remembering yesterday while I was watching that birth control documentary, I was like, what doctor did I even go to in Texas? And then I thought about it. I remembered that I called my doctor in Utah that I had seen like 2 years before, and I was like, yeah, apparently my prescription ran out, and he called someone in Texas. I didn't even have to go in person anymore.
Yeah, for out of state. Yeah, a lot of the times they can do that.
What was the other? Oh, sorry. You had something you were going to say about this.
So this actually, I found the part about AI because I was.
Oh, okay.
So, artificial intelligence has become a buzzword in healthcare, But Amazon Pharmacy is integrating generative artificial intelligence, machine learning, and new technologies in its pharmacy operations with the goal of getting prescriptions filled more quickly and accurately. That's another issue, is the human error aspect of it.
Are like people stealing pills? I have a cousin who used to be a pharmacy tech.
Oh, I'm sure.
And she got fired. She swears that she didn't, but they have to count in and count out every day.
Yeah.
And there was like accounted for one pill. So like if the AI is doing that, it could probably just like, you could trust it not to be getting high or something.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and that's absolutely an issue in today's world where like there have been like nurses, and that's why we have to count narcotics as nurses and whoever else that's working with them.
Mm-hmm. It's
because
not gonna change
people are stealing
it
them.
Facilities where people have to, you know, care for, you know, people.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
yeah,
still
yeah
have
of
it
course.
There. Yeah.
But at least in this case, I mean, and it's not even just like stealing, just human error.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I think eliminating that when you can is great. So AI can streamline prep work that historically would take hours down to mere minutes or even seconds and reduce administrative errors, noted Kevin Downs, Director of Fulfillment for Amazon Pharmacy. AI is helping Amazon Pharmacy be smarter with its last-mile distribution capabilities.
This is the exact kind of thing I want AI doing, is like working for us. I'm never going to ever be like, oh, AI, you are my friend and you have the same amount of rights as me, blah, 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 ever.
Yeah.
Never, ever going to happen. But I don't mind them working for me.
Yeah, I think it's like weird to, like, you know how a lot of people were doing, like, the AI art thing or, like, oh, write me a poem.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a weird use for AI. If people want to do that, that's fine. But I think this is a positive development. I mean, this is a case of there was an issue, a huge issue for some people who need their medications and can't get them or can't afford them. Or whatever.
How much slow bureaucracy in the way.
Exactly. Well, and there's still going to be that bureaucracy in the way, but it seems like this is kind of cutting through a lot of the flaws in the previous system where people are able to get their meds delivered to them for cheaper, faster. I mean, it only seems like positives for me.
And that's on them if they want to be addicted to all these things and dependent on all this stuff like insulin because they ate seed oils their whole lives.
Well, type 1 diabetes,
too much sugar,
you can't control that.
Well, I think you can, but we literally have seconds left. And not that you can control it instantly, but it's your fault because of the way you ate.
Type 1, you're born
and your parents.
With it.
That's the thing.
I mean, yeah, maybe the parents. Yeah.
So, like, not necessarily, like, it's all your fault, but it is the human's fault because of the way they're eating nowadays, I think. And that's, like, the whole thing. They want us to eat bad, so we're...
Maybe AI
can
tell you how
to
eat.
We need to take these pills, so we're forever customers.
Maybe the AI can feed us.
They can't tell us how to eat, because the government's going to control what they tell us. FreeTalkLive.com is where you can find more. That's FreeTalkLive.com. Thanks for listening, and peace.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. Since there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline. airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.